cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it. Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday. Text line 251-343-0106. We got a bunch of texts to get to here. We will get to those in short order. So we always appreciate the feedback. So it'll come on the program about an hour from now. Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Shane Stringer, one of our Monday regulars, will make time for us. Joining us now here at the Fairhope Bureau, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. He's running for mayor in Spanish Fort. Brad Bass joins us here in the studio. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, it's the obligatory questions. I know it's probably late to be asking this, but talk about why you're running and a little bit about that decision, how you came to it.
Yeah, so I grew up in Spanish Fort. I've been there over 30 years, pretty much my whole life, aside from college, and then came back to raise a family there. And, you know, we got really involved about a year ago. They were actually, the neighborhood I live in, they were looking at doing a Walmart development right behind our neighborhood. And, you know, we got notification from Planning Commission. They were looking to rezone the property. So we got involved. You know, we ended up showing up with close to, 250 plus people at the city council meeting when it eventually went in front of them. Thankfully, the developer did pull out. And we kind of thought, okay, our job's done here. You know, I've got a full-time job, two kids. And, you know, we kind of threw our hands up and said, hey, we're good. And then when Mayor McMillan announced that he was running for reelection in May, we kind of sat back and said, well, somebody's probably going to challenge him. I feel like competition, even in these municipal elections, always makes everybody better. And a month went by and nobody did. And, you know, some of the folks we worked with on the Walmart thing said, hey, somebody's got to jump in. So 10 weeks later, here I am. And, you know, the support's been overwhelming. It's been a very grassroots campaign. From one end of the town to the other, we're 12 miles now end to end. And we've done 16 neighborhood meetings in Spanish Fort. And of course, I've been door to door for the last month. I'm in a brand new pair of tennis shoes, so I've worn out two more. going door to door doing that.
Elections will do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. I mean, I love the city we're in, you know, and the city's grown so much. I mean, when I was a kid, we had 2,500 people or so that lived in the area. You know, my friends and I would walk to Papa John's gas station, get drinks. So we've seen a lot of the changes over the years. But a lot of those aren't bad things, but there's a lot of gaps right now from a city standpoint that we're just not able to fill or offer to some of the citizens. You know, the median age now in Spanish Fort is 37 years old. So we see a much younger demographic than historically we've seen in Spanish Fort. And a lot of the things I hear, you know, obviously having two kids, I hear from a lot of the other citizens, we can't provide, are things we really have to look at, but we can't do a lot of that really until, you know, we start generating more revenue as a city as a whole.
We have some interesting ideas we're talking about off air. You know, and, you know, the Spanish Fort discussion seemed to be around a lot of its infrastructure and traffic and, you know, getting 31 widened all the way down to, I guess, past 181.
Sure.
The one thing you brought up to me I thought was really interesting was the County Road 13. It runs all the way down 98, all the way up kind of parallel to 98 and 181, but making that, extending that to I-10 and I guess all the way up to 31.
I think if we could at least bring it across I-10 there to Bass Pro Drive, that, you know, when that original Bass Pro Center development was built, that was the plan. There was going to be a service road that connected all the way to 181. That didn't come to fruition. But I do think if we could extend 13 across the interstate to Bass Pro Drive, at least it would give an outlet. I think for some of the folks in Daphne that have some issues on Highway 90, but also right. Would dump off there into the shopping center, which would help tremendously because right now we just don't have enough foot traffic or car traffic. I mean, you're either going to Bass Pro Shop to get some outdoor needs or you're not going to that center at all. And, of course, you know, there have been some economic issues why that's happened. Obviously, JCPenney and Kohl's, those were kind of national-level right. decisions. It really didn't have as much to do with Spanish Fort as it did. They just decided to close stores nationwide. But, you know, we got involved with the Walmart potentially being built behind our neighborhood a little over a year ago. And our big argument with that was, like, we're not anti-Walmart or anti-development. But if you look over at the Bass Pro area, there's thousands upon thousands of square feet sitting empty. And then another 60 acres that's already been graded. The wetland remediation has been done. Like, this is an ideal place to put something like that. And I do think if you had one hub store like a Walmart Neighborhood Market, Target, other retailers are going to follow and get us to where we need to be from a revenue standpoint. Bass Pro Shop is generating a lot of revenue right now, but nothing else in that area really is doing a whole lot.
You got the trampoline park. That's right. Noel, and the boot store.
That's right.
But you're right. You drive through there, and I remember when that was built, it was a big deal. It was a big, going to be, you know, big things for Spanish Fort and Eastern Shore, and it's kind of not really worked out as planned.
Yeah, no, I think we've got to be more proactive, both recruiting and then also potentially offering incentives. That's something that the current administration has never been a fan of. But I think if you look at most of the Republican-led cities across not just the state but the Southeast, that's really a way they have attracted and brought businesses in those retail spaces. I look at places like Irondale, Gardendale, Eufaula that are very similar size to Spanish Fort, and they've offered a lot of those things through Amendment 772 that in the state of Alabama to potentially offer some incentives, sales tax rebates that you then obviously sunset at some point, but right now, those empty spaces are generating $0 of revenue, and if you're willing to offer something like that, maybe it's attractive for, you know, a business to come in if you know, they could then produce something. You know, half of the sales tax revenue while you're doing one of these abatements is more than the $0 is generating right now. So, and then obviously once it sunsets, or if they don't meet the needs that you lay out contractually, like potentially you call back some of that money that, you know, you've offered as a rebate or abatement to them.
You set it up with stipulations that you have to do X, Y, and Z. And if you don't fulfill these obligations, then they call it back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, now we haven't spent a lot of time on the Spanish Fort race on this show, but if we start thinking about things that can be done, I mean, that's a red flag right there. But you look at other things. And the discussion with all these Eastern Shore towns has been trying to rein in growth. Do you see that as like as big of an issue for you guys as it is for us at Fairhope and those guys at Daphne?
So, you know, the city actually has a comprehensive plan out for bid right now, which the current one's about 15 years old. And honestly, once that plan was done 15 years ago, it was almost obsolete within a few months because the initial plan for development back then was up Jimmy Faulkner Drive in that Highlands area property. And everything went east of there. If you look at Stonebridge, Grace Magnolias, Cambron, Rain Plantation, some of those areas, which Stonebridge obviously now is part of the city of Loxley. Moving forward, I think it's definitely something that has to be talked about. I'll give Mayor McMillan credit. You know, he put a pause on multifamily housing about 10 years ago, and I think that definitely needs to continue. Our schools right now in Spanish Fort are all A-rated. That's all the elementary schools, middle school, and high school. You know, you bring in more multifamily housing, obviously Baldwin County schools are somewhere a lot of folks want to be, especially in surrounding areas. You end up flooding classroom size. Obviously, that adds a ton of traffic if you approved one or two multifamily housing spots there in Spanish Fort. I don't think that's good for the growth of the city.
Right.
That needs to stay in place for sure.
Well, and then, because you go, and I go this way, you know, everything's heading up towards Stapleton now.
Right.
And that seems to be the, the avenue for where things would go. It's not up Jimmy Faulkner or whatever, as you said, but it's just with that being widened, and I guess potentially someday widened all the way to 59 in Stapleton, then that's going to be where I would think most of the growth would take place.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's a plan. I know it's on ALDOT's radar right now to widen that. I think that would be a tremendous help to a lot of the folks. I've heard arguments from people that, well, once 31 got widened, we saw more traffic, which is true. I mean, I think every time you see I-10 back up in the summertime because of the Bayway.
For alternate routes.
Ways or Apple Maps, you know, cut people right through the heart of Spanish Fort, which adds, you know, to some issues for the folks that live there. But I think if we did have it four-laned all the way to 59, it would definitely alleviate some of the traffic issues. Another big one that I think would affect a lot of folks You know, with Stonebridge, even though it's Locksley, their long-term plan is to have Bedrock Drive, which would connect to 59, which would help with a lot of the traffic in Spanish Fort, because a lot that neighborhood's now over 1,000 roofs. And if you could dump those folks out to 59 rather than coming down 31 to get to the interstate, it would help with a lot of the traffic for the folks that are actually in Spanish Fort as well.
Joined by Brad Bass here on the program. He's running for mayor in Spanish Fort. Brad, talk one of my things that I have tracked about Spanish Fort, and this has been a years-long problem. When will Spanish Fort ever get its own post office?
So every time someone asks me that, I just do another tally mark, you know, in my head. And it's been a big question. You know, I had an event at the Bull. It was a local restaurant in Spanish Fort back about a month ago, I guess. And there were a ton of people there that night. And a gentleman grabbed me and he said, I can tell you how to get a post office. And I said, well, I'm all ears. And he owns actually two of the contract post offices in North Alabama, which is what our old post office in Spanish Fort was. Obviously, the USPS, they lose a ton of money every year. The big issue with them, they don't want to spend.
They're not expanding right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. They're,
right?
they're not going to spend $1 million on a new facility because they're losing so much money every year already as it is. But I do think whether it's a private business owner, I've had conversations with several of those that are looking to develop some office space. If they were willing to cut out maybe 1,000 or 1,200 square feet, that would be a low-cost lease to the USPS. That's something I think they would be more favorable of rather than paying, you know, $24 a square foot for some of the locations we have in Spanish Fort right now. But yeah, I think there's some other areas in the town that potentially we could carve out. We don't need a downtown Mobile size post office. We need somewhere folks can buy stamps and certified letters and maybe a few post office boxes.
Yeah,
and
just drop off the last minute tax return or, you know, like things like that instead of going all the way to Daphne or, I guess, Stapleton or wherever.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. A lot of folks are utilizing that Stapleton post office right now. And unfortunately, they've got kind of funny hours. They close sometimes for 2 hours at lunch.
Yeah.
Or they close early in the afternoon. So then, you know, folks do get frustrated. If you're from Spanish Fort, you drive out there and, you know, now they're closed. They'll be back in an hour. So you sit there in the parking lot rather than drive back to Spanish Fort. But it is an issue. But obviously, there's a lot on the federal side that we can't do other than being the gnat in the ear of those folks trying to work with congressional folks to get that done. But I think it's something the folks in Spanish Fort definitely want. And as mayor, you've got to be that gnat in the ear to try to get it done for sure.
Well, here's one, and this has come up out of kind of a municipal politics season in Baldwin County, but would Spanish Fort ever tinker with the idea of forming its own school system?
So I've
had it away from the county.
Well, and I know several folks have looked at that. Several other municipalities around us have looked at that. You know, right now the budget in Spanish Fort is only about $12 million. I mean, we could,
it would take the big project with the tax.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the surrounding folks around us, City of Daphne, City of Fairhope, you're talking, you know, tax revenue that's 5 times or 10 times the amount that we have. We can't support a city school system right now in Spanish Fort. And a lot of folks, I think, you know, especially parents who are like, oh, it'd be great to break off and you know, have some of the things that Saraland has or Orange Beach has or Gulf Shores has. And it's not feasible for Spanish Fort right now.
But there's an appetite for it, it sounds like.
I think from families, there's an appetite for sure.
Schools are already pretty good.
No, our schools are great. And the administration and all those places have done a great job. You know, we've got the 3-mil commission, which has helped tremendously. You know, being here in this position potentially, it does worry me because, you know, Stonebridge at some point may move over to that Locksley School's feeder pattern, and the 3-mil vote will be back up again in about 3 years. So the worry is, okay, if you lose those 1,000 roofs from Stonebridge that could potentially vote in the 3-mil vote 3 years from now, what does that look like? Can we get it passed again? Because we've done a lot of good things in the city of Spanish Fort, hiring part-time teachers, tutors, paraprofessionals that have been able to get our schools, all of our schools now to that A-rated level. So it does worry me a little bit. If that happens, we're going to be out on Highway 31 campaigning again for folks to come out and vote for the 3-mil again.
Again, yeah. Well, and those are always tough.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah. We'll talk about this. You know, we had infrastructure and growth and all, you know, kind of being a part of the whole like Mobile ecosystem and the way that's the way the trend now is these places in Baldwin County are kind of maybe a little more independent, and the kind of economy you think that the city of Spanish Fort is, it's always kind of be kind of a bedroom community for Mobile, but I don't know. I feel like it's different here than, say, like Birmingham or other places. What's the trend you see there for the future? What's the big thing Spanish Fort is going to be relative to, you know, everything else around
Mobile? Yeah, we're a much bigger bedroom community than we were when I was a kid. But I still think that's what we are. Most people leave Spanish Fort and go other places for work and come back in the evenings. And, you know, I have had several conversations with several different companies that are Mobile-based right now that are looking at Baldwin County potentially, like depending on the outcome of the Mobile election, like maybe we decide to move, you know, our business or our operations to Baldwin County. And now whether that's Spanish Fort or Loxley, Daphne, wherever that may be, I think we could see just the whole economic development side of things change.
Well, it's just the access to I-10. You're right there.
Right.
You know, speaking from a guy who does that and drives sometimes, I mean, it takes forever to get to I-10, and then you're assuming the bayway's not clogged up.
But, sure.
And I guess the bridge will come at some point. I don't know how old you and I will be, but it'll be here. But it just seems like you could see things kind of move in this direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the bridge is a big topic. That's come up a lot of times in conversations I've had throughout the city. And even talking with Chief Barber, our police chief, you know, it's something proactively we need to look at moving forward. Right now, we've got a police station that's actually free of charge for the city that's at the mall there in Spanish Fort as part of the CID. But at the end of the day, I do think we need a full-fledged police station at some point, maybe closer to that west end of town, especially with the increased traffic. We'll see if and when the bridge is done there on that side of town.
Let's work at a quick break. We got Brad Bass, mayoral candidate, here on the program. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just to send it on down.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just a few more minutes with Mr. Bass here, running for mayor of Spanish Fort. By the way, if you want to get in touch with the show, and I see a ton of text over there, 251-343-0106. We'll get to those in the next hour. We're wide open. Still to come on the program, Dale Jackson. And that's in the next hour, the 11 o'clock hour. Our friend Shane Stringer, state representative from Citronelle. Brad, you and I were talking off air about this. It just seems to be sort of the municipal election issue, but it's always turnout and, you know, engaging people come out to vote for Donald Trump, or they'll even come out in the midterms to vote for governor or whatever. But these municipal elections kind of off cycle. That presents a challenge, doesn't it?
No, it does. And I've talked to a lot of folks the last few weeks, especially being door-to-door, what that looks like. You know, and it's surprising. Even Saturday, I was in Spanish Fort Estates, and I had several people say, well, the election's in November, right? And I'm like, no, it's Tuesday. And a lot of folks just don't realize that, because right. it is an off-year election. And you know, 5 years ago, we had less than 1,200 people that showed up to vote in Spanish Fort. And, you know, we're actually closing in on 12,000 citizens now in Spanish Fort. So I'd love to see that number get closer to the 20%, which is kind of the national average for municipal elections. If that happens, would be closer to 2,500 rather than the 1,200. That might be a little optimistic. But I think, you know, based off a lot of the folks I've talked with, you know, I think there's been more buzz probably for this Spanish Fort municipal elections than a lot of the others in the past few years.
These municipal elections, this has been a very hot election cycle. Just for, and I had just come back from Huntsville last time around, and it was kind of interesting, intriguing here. Other places, it was, you know, Daphne had a competitive election, but that's what it really takes, I guess, is some kind of buy-in from the public.
Yeah, it is. And that's been a lot of our message to the folks when we've been door to door in the neighborhood meetings, like, come out and make your voice heard. You know, I think a lot of folks are excited this time from what we've heard. We'll find out, you know, tomorrow what that looks like from a turnout standpoint. But I think it will be encouraging regardless of the outcome. Obviously, I didn't hop in this to lose by any means. But just if we see the folks in Spanish Fort show up tomorrow, I think it'll be a good thing just to be more involved. And I will say, not just me. I mean, there's two younger guys that have jumped in running for city council. And I think it's good just to have some of the newer or younger people maybe that are getting in, trying to at least make a difference in the community. And I think it goes a long way for the future of our city and a lot of the other ones around us. You see very similar things. I know in Daphne, Councilman Ben Hughes, who's running for re-election, another right. young guy, and he's been super involved in the city and done a lot of good things in Daphne. So when those young voices, I think, get in, it goes a long way, kind of that proactive vision for a city, moving the city forward.
Let's just have it a little more energy. And you know, and I find in a lot of places, it's just we've always done it this way. Well, it's a different world now, you know, especially Baldwin County. It is such a different world. And you have these issues, you know, that probably 20 years ago, I mean, you were worried about growth, but you were really, really thinking about, well, how's this going to impact the water system or the bay or traffic? And now here it is. We're here. Can't really do things the way we used to do them.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I've talked with, you know, folks in Wilson Heights, which is one of the older neighborhoods in Spanish Fort, and a lot of the issues they worry about are the traffic concerns with the four-laning of 31 right there in front of their neighborhood. It's hard for some of those folks to get in and out, and, of course, the infrastructure things. I've been 12 of the 16 neighborhoods, folks have shared with me water issues they have, erosion, you know, stormwater problems, and the real issues we've got to face.
Stormwater, that's yeah. the one that always comes up. Brad, folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
You can go to bradbassmayor.com, and of course, I'm on Facebook, Brad Bass, Our Fort, Our Future. You can find me there, and we've been doing a ton of video content the last few days. That'll continue through tomorrow, but if you have questions, feel free to reach out to either one of those places. Obviously, there's a contact on both of those. So
thanks for stopping. Bye. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back.